Good morning. I hate to interrupt all the good conversation. It sounds so happy. And we are happy to be here this morning. It's great to be together. Welcome to all of you. Welcome back to our choir. We've had wonderful musicians this summer, but we're also always so happy to have our full choir back up there, or close to full. I know we've got a lot of people out of town still. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a long time. We're so glad you're here. We hope you find yourself at home with us. And we invite all of you, whether you are new or not, visitor or otherwise, if you would take a moment this morning and fill out this connection card on the front now and on the back later in the service, and we will collect these during our offering. We have a number of announcements in your insert to your bulletin. A lot of things will be starting up in 2 weeks from today. We'll be kicking off our church program year. You can read all about the upcoming things, but I do want to let you know of a couple of things that are happening today. One is that we have lemonade on the lawn following our worship service here. We have always our fellowship time downstairs with coffee, but during the summer we've been occasionally having this lemonade on the lawn, which is great fun. You'll see a lot of kids out there. That does not mean that it's a kids-only event. It's just a great way to be outside and have some lemonade and good times with each other. It's for all ages, and we hope to see you there. Following Lemonade on the Lawn, we really, really hope that you will come downstairs to the Memorial Lounge for our Radical Hospitality event. This is, we've called it a workshop, we've called it a training event. Mostly it's just going to be fun, and it's a chance to think a little bit more intentionally about how to be people who welcome others, welcome newcomers to worship, strangers, not just to worship, but wherever you go, to be a welcoming, hospitable, inclusive presence in a world that really needs that. If it feels a little intimidating to you to think about we're not going to try to make you into an extrovert, but if you're not, I mean, it's great to be an extrovert, right? I'm not saying it's bad, but if it feels intimidating, don't be too scared. It's going to be fun. Please come. We're going to have, it's just going to be really good, and I hope you'll join us down there at 11:30 in the Memorial Lounge. You can read other announcements at your leisure. God is good. God wants good things for us. Our worship is a celebration of that goodness, a participation in that goodness, a renewal of our ability to share that goodness in our world. So now we do celebrate. We praise, we pray, we worship.
Please stand if you are able for the invocation. Almighty God, thank you for opening our minds to the world. Please help us, as the world of work and school distracts us, to remember that you are always with us, so that we may carry out your will in the week to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved. The one who keeps you will not sleep nor slumber.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at the right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in. From this time on and forevermore.
Now we listen to a word from Scripture, this from Paul's letter to the Romans, a new translation. And so I urge you, sisters, brothers, by God's mercies, bring your embodied life as an offered gift to God. consecrated and pleasing to God. This would be your true worship. Do not be conformed to this present age, but be transformed by the making new of your minds, so that you may discern God's will, which is good, which is pleasing, which is complete. The word of the Lord.
Pray with me. Loving God, in the beauty of these deep summer days, we experience your ever-present glory. In the changing slant of sunlight and the growing chill of mornings, we anticipate the shift of seasons and we recognize the reliable rhythms of your creation, and indeed of your love and care. We praise you, we thank you, we seek to respond to you. Every day you move toward us. Every day is an invitation for us to move toward you. Help us to do so. Even as we ourselves enjoy these gorgeous days, we are painfully aware of the horrors others are facing even now as natural disaster storms through their lives. We are especially mindful this morning of those in the Houston area in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. Show your love and grace to all those dealing with disaster, grief, and fear. Impel your people to move with compassion and kindness to help in tangible ways. Beyond this one storm, we realize that there are so many storms in our nation and in our world, even in our own personal lives. It is overwhelming to think of all that we, as a country and as individuals, are grappling with. It is difficult to know what to do, or even to know what to pray. We beg for your spirit of limitless love to move in us and through us and to work in our lives and in our world the things we don't even know how to ask. We pray for all who are dealing with fear and sadness in up-close personal ways, especially for those in our country most affected by newly public expressions of racism. We pray also for people affected by the Barcelona terror attack and for other violence in our land and in our world. We pray for your church everywhere that in a time of terror, we would be people of comfort and hope. In a time of hatred, we would be people who offer only love. And in a time of division, we would be people who lean towards your call, who work towards your call of barrier-breaking inclusion and grace. Trusting in that grace, we also pray for those whom we know to lift by name. We pray for May Pearl Carty and for the whole family of Saul Charlie. We pray for Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt, for Robert, for Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, Carol, the Reverend Will Healy and his wife Julie, for Kim and Jason Weaver. And we lift our private prayers to you now in silence. Holy God, give us the grace to trust not only your love for us, but also your power in us. You have called us to such important work. Make us bold to answer that call in the confidence that we are equipped for it by the power of your Spirit at work in us, that we might change our world with your love. We ask all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The reading of Matthew 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The word of the Lord. And now it is time for Time with Children to end.
For you. Can you two move this way a little bit so you can all see? Okay, let's see. Here we go. I'm going to start like that. Then I'm going to see if you can continue the pattern. Can you try? Figure out what you can do. Can you make that pattern go? David and Chloe are working together. Good, Josh. All right, yellow, yellow, green, pink. Yellow, yellow, green, pink. Okay, let's try this. Okay, figure it out again. A little different this time. Let's see. Oh, getting there. Yellow, green, yellow, pink. Yellow, green, yellow, pink. Let's keep them in this order, in this pattern, but let's flip them over and see what they say. Can you flip them over in this pattern? Keep them in that same spot. Can you turn those over, Chloe? Let's listen to these words now. Ooh. Talking over other people when they're sharing their ideas. Ooh. Uh-oh. Plugging your ears when someone is talking to you. Saying unkind words when you're frustrated. Never asking for help. Ooh. Not telling a grown-up the truth. Always going first. Saying, no girls allowed. Wanting it to always go your way. Here is a pattern. Would you say those words are a good pattern? Those things, those ideas? In the reading that Pastor Paul read today, it talked about how we get into patterns, ways of thinking, ways of talking that aren't always so great. But Paul says, hey, hang out with God. Spend time getting to know Jesus better, and then the pattern gets switched up. Let's try this. I want you to take these two and place them in the pink spots. You take one, and then I'll have you do one. Can you do one, too? Can you change them with the pink ones? Let's get rid of those pink ones. Let's take them totally out. There we go. What does this one say? David, can you read that for us?
Giving someone a compliment. Listening first and speaking second.
When we spend time with God and get to know Jesus better, we change up the pattern, don't we? Let's try this. We got two more. Josh, could you do this? Could you change out the green? Chloe, could you change out the green? Let's change that out. Josh, can you read the one that you have?
Standing up for others when they are teased.
Telling a friend when they've hurt your feelings.
Standing up for somebody who's being teased and telling a friend when they've hurt your feelings. Okay, we're changing up the pattern. Let's see. We got four more to go. Emmanuel, can you change up a pattern? And Asher, can you change up one? Got to get rid of those yellows. Piper, can you change up one? When we spend time with God and get to know Jesus better. Anna, can you do one for us? We change up that pattern. Let's change it. Can you put that one here? Let's read those words now. Having fun with friends who are different than you in some way.
Using an I statement when you are frustrated. Listening for God's voice. Helping someone when they're stuck.
So look, there was a pattern there. The pattern of the way the world goes and maybe the way things happen at school. But we're changing up the pattern. And look at my eyes. How do we change up the pattern? By hanging out with God. Can you repeat after me? Hanging out with God.
Hanging out with God.
And getting to know Jesus better.
Getting to know Jesus better.
Amen. Let's do it.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Gracious God, now let your word and let our lives be open. May your spirit speak. May we listen. And may it make all the difference. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Summer is the season for leaving home, which has been plain to see around here. It is great to see some of you back. When there's no school, longer days, warmer, brighter, we hit the road if we can. Head someplace different, different scenery, often different people, different pursuits and priorities, different pace. And I don't know if this has happened to you, but it has happened rather often to me. All of a sudden, some new clarity dawns on me about the life I've just stepped away from. Clear as day, I see where some changes are in order. Is that really the way I want to keep living my life? Shouldn't I rearrange these priorities, set this aside, put that first, revise my approach, my attitude, quit doing what isn't working? It's all so obvious, but I don't see it so well when the life I'm living is all up in my face. Has that happened to you? To me, it's a good sign, the fact that given some distance, many of us are able to see changes that would be wonderful to make. And not only to see them, but to choose them. It's a mighty good sign that the desire for life-giving transformation is alive and well in us. And that deep down we know change is possible. We're not stuck. This is something that Christian faith believes, that human lives can be transformed. Our old familiar ways of thinking, acting, and relating to the world, to each other, and to God, we are not locked in to the endless repetition of our patterns. There are doors that swing open to new ways, and we can walk through them. Well, not new in every way. Each of us has an essential personality type that, for the most part, we're going to keep. I will never be an extrovert. And my desk will never be clean for too long. I will never cease either to be a white male, middle class, and what that means. There are other things I cannot change. My heredity, sexuality, experiences, memories, and how they have shaped me. So much that can't be changed, and we probably should add that if we are so deeply narcissistic that we have kept refusing long enough to be open to kindness, love, if we live only with falsehood about ourselves and others, then it can become impossible to change. And yet our faith never ceases to point us to the possibility of change and urging us toward it. And here it is again this morning, the Apostle Paul saying, even commanding, be transformed by the making new of your mind. And here's something that some of you will like. His call to be transformed is specifically a call to nonconformity. Do not be conformed, but transformed. Leave the herd. Get free of the mass mind. Take the road less traveled. Don't be conventional. Be a surprise. That kind of talk appeals to most of us. Who wants to be like everybody else? Of course, we do want to fit in. We do want to have friends and don't want to miss out or be completely uncool. Want to be in on the joke. Feel like we belong. So we do conform. Most of us may be more than we'd like to think. Funny thing about nonconformists. A group of them drops out of the mainstream to be countercultural, radically different. And the first thing that happens is they're all wearing the same uniform, same hairstyle, speaking the same language. That's hippie talk. We've gone about 8 groups since then. I've seen this in academics too, have you? And good heavens, you should see a convention of preachers. It is the truth. Our species is tribal. And it seems pretty much hardwired in us that we are going to conform to our tribe. And yet the scriptures say, don't conform. Which in part, at least, has to mean be distinctive, a singular human being. Be an original. I have to be careful here. Because we do believe in community. We believe in unity. And we'll come back to that. But real community never means conformity. In the community of Jesus, each of us ought to become more and more and more uniquely ourselves. You were made to be and gifted to be distinctly you. And whatever else the transformation of your life should be, if the Spirit is in it, it will take you deeper and deeper into your own splendid uniqueness. And so I love what a nun in her later years said to a group of others. She said, if you are not eccentric by the time you are 60, your yeast didn't rise. What if a church were a family of the beautifully eccentric? A community of the non-conformed. But non-conformed from what? Surely the point is not to be different, but to be distinctly different from what? Paul calls it this age. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. Now, some of your translations say world. Do not be conformed to this world. But the word in Greek Paul uses is eon. The time we're living in. The spirit of this age. Don't be conformed to the spirit of this age. Be transformed. Be distinguished from that. And what is the spirit of the present age? Where do we start? For certain, it is an age of fractiousness, of things falling apart, the vanishing of civility, the ascendancy of meanness and crudeness. We cannot conform to that. And maybe you are thinking, but that isn't us anyway. That's him. That's those people. But friends, we are in it. And the power of it, more than many of us realize, is conforming us to itself. And the problem is not that most of us often do feel disgust and anger. And certainly, certainly, not all of us are guilty to the same extent. But do you notice what we let it do to us? How derailed we are in ways that are not good for us or for others. How much of our thoughts and our reading and our conversations with each other have been diverted and consumed? So many opportunities we are giving away. Have any of you found that your spirit these days has been growing more magnanimous? Anybody here sense of communion with God grown deeper in recent days? How come? Do not be conformed to this age. Be transformed by the making new of your mind. The spirit of this age likewise is more and more frivolous. Have you noticed? There is more and more making fun. I read recently that our default mode of speech now is parody. Snide, sarcastic, mocking, derision, and everything is funny. I love funny. We need funny. I am funny. But here too is a call for transformation. Many of us are in need of a new seriousness, a new moral seriousness. And maybe our transformation would include reclaiming a vocabulary of moral seriousness to speak more of kindness, of humility, of sin, of restraint, of loyalty, of friendship, of hope. The spirit of this age is one of epidemic shallowness. Easy to conform to that, busy as we are, fast as the messages are coming in, and loving our entertainment too. And how is depth of thought and of character and of soul really possible when we're all surrounded by shallowness? What is wanted to be non-conformed to that? What is wanted is transformation by the making new of our minds in the choice to live more reflective lives. to take our minds to the sources of deep nourishment, beauty, challenge, correction, insight, daring to be contemplative. If we're people of faith, our reflection will always or often be prayerful and will often be in good, open-hearted, listening friendship with each other. Now, looking at your life, something in you does stir, doesn't it? Seeing what changes might be in order, longing for them to occur. And is any of this calling to you? On that count, I heard something this very week that pertains. It was from a man who for decades has been counseling young people. He said that many people have asked him, "What program is it that can really transform lives?" He says, he answers them, "I've been doing this for 50 years and never found a program that changes a life. The only thing that transforms a life is a relationship." And so now we are back to the gift of community, for deepening friendships, the meeting of kindred minds and kindred longings, for mutual encouragement and support, making the journey together toward transformation. Seek that out. Offer it. That is a big part of what church is to be, you know. A non-conforming relational community living toward transformation together. Let's be that. Never forgetting this either. That if transformation happens only by way of relationship, that for us, the strongest, truest, deepest relationship is the one that is ours in the company of the living Christ, who always was and always will be a fierce liberator from dead conformity. His thrilling refrain is, "Follow me." And his gift for those who have it is the real transformation of human lives by the making new of our minds. So more and more let it be so for me and for you and for us all. And so from a place of longing, and already from a place of gratefulness, let us offer again our lives to the purpose of God for us. Let us make good gifts the best we can, trusting that God means to give the best of new gifts to us.
Thank you.
has given us the very best of gifts, perhaps your best of gifts still await us too. May we long for them. May we lift our lives in the living toward them and the sharing of them too with your waiting world. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Reconciled children of God, called to the sacred purpose of living in and through Christ Jesus. We are privileged now to embrace each other, or maybe shake hands, or stand at a safe and introverted distance, and extend to each other the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Two quick things. One, don't forget lemonade on the lawn, followed by Radical Hospitality event, which is for all ages from youth all the way up. You're included, invited, and we hope that we'll see you there. Number two, ground cover news. I'm sure many of you are familiar with a really important organization and effort. We are a founding mission partner of this awesome organization. They sell newspapers all over town. These are people who are trying to be self-sufficient, and we are working with them and helping support that as well. Pony right here who worships with us many Sundays. Our parking lot area is one of his posts, and he has newspapers available today and most Sundays, and you can find him after the service if you want to help support this effort and get some good reading in to boot. So make sure you find Pony. I did not mention the rose. Yes,
you may. You see this rose? This rose is in grateful celebration for the safe arrival into our world and into this community of Eleanor Jean Floyd. Her father is here today, John.
What?